Thank you, Chonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 1st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwean workers mark Workers' Day amid growing concern over poor salaries and a deteriorating economic situation that has seen the majority of the country's workers being turned into vendors.
What is the cause of people of Zimbabwe leaving their country, leaving their families, risking everything to go to another country? The cause is misrule and misgovernance in Munyika Muno.
The 5-day Zimbabwe International Trade Fair ends tomorrow amid concerns that the country's sliding economy almost devastated the annual event.
We are happy. We have one company that we've been talking to. The guys also came in with their directors, and we have managed to conclude on that deal.
And Zimbabweans join in the frenzy as they count down to this weekend's big fight featuring American legend Floyd Mayweather and Philippine great Manny Pacquiao continues.
Workers around the world took to the streets today to mark International Workers' Day, more commonly known as May Day, with marches and calls for higher pay and better working conditions.
The concerned affiliates of the ZCTU, under the leadership of Love Momatombo, congregated at the Railton Sports Club in Harare under the theme Fighting Unemployment, Casualization, Corruption, Forced Retrenchment and a Failing Economy, while the Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Unions held its activities to mark the day at Stanley Square in Bulawayo under the theme Workers United, More Informed and Ready to Embrace Zimaset Program. Studio 7 spoke with Majongwe, who is the secretary of the affiliate, the concerned affiliates of the ZCTU.
We had a successful May Day.
How did you address the issue of calls by some quarters for salary cuts?
Apparently, we must make it very clear that as workers, we will not tolerate any salary reduction. We must actually make it very clear that workers in Zimbabwe are the lowest paid in the region. So whatever, however, the economy is performing, it's not our business to become part and parcel of the group that then agrees to salary reductions. If anything, we must be seeing salary increments. So as far as we are concerned, we are sending a very clear message that at whatever rate that the economy is performing, we must demand and continue demanding salary increments without apology.
What message did you give out to Zimbabwean workers?
We said before starters, the workers of this country must unite. We have seen enough of these new unions motivated, created, inspired, and deliberately marshaled by politicians.
That was concerned affiliates of the ZCTU, Secretary General Raymond Majongwe in Harare. Meanwhile, ZCTU Western Region Vice Chairman Ambrose Windy tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga that Workers' Day commemorations were held at the White City Stadium in Bulawayo today, where most people said they have nothing to celebrate as they are either unemployed or going for months without receiving their full salaries.
The thrust of the matter was highlighting the challenges that the workers are facing, issues of retrenchment, labor market flexibility, issues to do with employers failing to remit union dues, the labor law reforms, the commemoration of the success. All the workers were very clear that they were nothing to commemorate due to the economic meltdown of the economy in Zimbabwe.
What was identified as the main concern by the workers?
Obviously, as you know, that is now, most of our companies closed down. And as a result, workers are demanding that is the revival of the interest of flowers. And they also are demanding that the government must fulfill the promise of saying that they wanted to create 2 million jobs. Further to that, the workers are also demanding the issue to say that the government must stop this idea of labor market flexibility, whereby they are saying that the workers need to be paid according to production. And we are saying, how can one produce when he's not given the equipment? How can one produce when the economy is down and there's no raw material? And further to that, some of the great challenges that the workers talked about was the issue of the EM2. And the other issue that came into light was the issue of the suspension of the tripartite negotiating forum.
That was Ambrose Swindi, ZCTU Western Region Vice Chairman, on the line with Studio 7, Standekile Mhlanga from Bulawayo. In Harare, the ZCTU also met at Gwanzara Stadium, where growing concerns over poor salaries amid a deteriorating economic situation that has seen the majority of the country's workers being turned into vendors was the main agenda. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Gwanzura.
While millions the world over marched to mark their day, thousands of Zimbabwean workers gathered at Gwanzura Stadium and other venues countrywide to commemorate the International Workers' Day, with speeches centering on the plight of the ordinary person who is struggling to make ends meet as the economic crunch continues to bite. Speaking at the commemorations, President of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, George Nkiwane, said the ZCTU was unhappy with the low salaries that Zimbabwean workers are earning. He said most workers are earning salaries that are below the BOPA. He said most workers are earning salaries that are below the poverty datum line, that is slightly above $500. Nkiwane criticized the government's plans to downsize the civil service by almost 50%. The Zimbabwe National Statistical Agency, or ZIMSTATS, announced recently that over 30,000 workers were retrenched last year alone. The ZCTU official said the introduction of the labor market reforms that allow employers to hire and fire their employees at will are not feasible in an underperforming Zimbabwean economy. Nkiwane said the proposed reforms are pro-capital and are tantamount to sending Zimbabweans back to the Economic Structural Adjustment Program, or ESAP era, where thousands were retrenched. Instead of reducing its workforce, Nkiwane said the government should first flush out all ghost workers that he said are straining the national fiscus. National chairperson of the ZCTU Women's Quota, Miriam Katumba, said women were the most affected by the current economic hardships in the country.
When we get short pay and unpaid and there's no job in Zimbabwe, women are the most affected people.
Speaking at the same event, former ZCTU Secretary General and leader of the MDCT, Morgan Changirai, said problems being faced by the Zimbabwean workforce and all the country's citizens are due to what he said is the lack of legitimacy of President Robert Mugabe's government and his ZANU-PF party. Mr. Changirai said ZANU-PF has failed to provide the 2.2 million jobs that it promised Zimbabweans in the run-up to the 2013 national elections, adding Zimbabwe's economy has been turned into a vending economy.
What is the cause of people of Zimbabwe leaving their country, leaving their families, risking everything to go to another country? The cause is misrule and misgovernance. Irimunyika muno.
Mavambo Kusile Don party leader Simba Makoni renewed calls for a coalition to dislodge ZANU-PF in the next elections, saying that's the only way problems afflicting the nation and its people can be addressed. Mr. Changirai also took the opportunity to condemn the recent xenophobic attacks against the foreign nationals in South Africa. He said the attacks also indicated the growing need for Zimbabwe to resolve their economic crisis to lure back those who have left the country. Some of the workers who attended the Workers' Day commemorations at Gwanzura were clad in a regalia inscribed "No to Xenophobia." The theme for this year's commemorations was "Workers Under Siege, Arise and Fight On." The Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Unions held a separate event at Rufaro Stadium to mark the day. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
The 5-day Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, or ZITF, ends tomorrow amid concerns that the country's sliding economy almost devastated the annual event. Some exhibitors told Studio 7 they struck some lucrative deals at the show being held in the nation's second largest city, Bulawayo, despite the current harsh economic environment. A representative of South Africa's Minister of Commerce, Adrian Adams, and Caroline Chirima of BuzzTech told Studio 7 they are happy with the deals struck at the showcase. Chirima says her company managed to discuss a lot of business issues with local and international buyers.
For us as a company, really, it's a platform that we use to network with our people, and we also use the same platform to reach out to people where we are, people that we're not failing to reach. So if we do participate here, we'd find some people that we haven't contacted who actually find us.
When we talk about this year's event, how was it?
We are happy.
Did you actually meet some of the buyers there that are going to buy your products?
Yes, we have. And we have one company that we've been talking to. The guys also came in with their directors, and we have managed to conclude on that deal.
Compared to last year, how is the ZITF this year?
Every year you come across people that we have not even contacted, and those will be potential clients for us. So we've actually met, like this year, there's a company that we have contacted mining, which we didn't even know about, and they got about 1.5 employees. So if we do follow up on that one, if we manage to close that deal, it would have been because of ZITF. Definitely, we will be coming back next year.
That was BuzzTech representative Caroline Chirima speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
But Bulawayo businessman Sam Ngube says this year's fair appeared to be subdued compared to last year's due to the current harsh economic situation in the country.
What our people should do is not to come and sell their things at the trade fair. They should think of how they can manufacture the same things in Zimbabwe. Those people coming here to sell their things, it should encourage us to also improve on our products so that we can also display our products in their country.
Do you see any good business deals being struck at the trade fair this year?
I'm not directly involved. Judging from what was happening, I think the activity at the trade fair was much lower than what it was last.
Now, what are the causes of this?
We as Zimbabweans were not very much serious about our economy. People waste a lot of time on other things and they don't address the economic issues.
That was Bulawayo businessman Sam Ngube speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Zambian President Edgar Lungu, who officially opened the show yesterday, applauded such showcases, adding regional leaders are encouraging the exportation of finished products to other nations.
This fair comes at a time when our countries and the region are implementing reforms aimed at stimulating trade within our countries and across the borders. We have just come from an extraordinary summit whose main objective was to put the region's industrialization at the center of the SADC development agenda in order to deepen and broaden productive capacities and enhance their competitiveness.
And that was Zambian President Edgar Lungu, who officially opened the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair yesterday. The annual fair, running under the theme Stimulating Trade, Seizing Opportunities to Accelerate Growth, is being attended by hundreds of local exhibitors in some countries including Japan, Switzerland, Indonesia, China, South Africa, among others.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at the plight of workers in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The chief prosecutor for the eastern U.S. city of Baltimore has announced criminal charges against six police officers involved in the arrest of a black man, Freddie Gray, saying the state medical examiner has determined his death in police custody was a homicide.
Saudi Arabia says it has killed dozens of Yemen Shiite rebels who were carrying out a large-scale cross-border attack on the kingdom.
And the death toll from the earthquake in Nepal continues to rise, surpassing 6,200 people today. That number is expected to increase as rescue teams from around the world uncover bodies in the rubble of the April 25th quake.
The by-elections scheduled to be held on June 10 have been overshadowed by violence that has forced hundreds to flee their homes, particularly in Hurungwe West. Former ZANU-PF chairman for Mashonaland West and expelled member of parliament of the area, Temba Mliswa, is facing ZANU-PF's Keith Guza in the polls. Six village heads have so far been assaulted and removed from their positions for allegedly backing Mliswa. In a video obtained by Studio 7, ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration, Ignatius Chombo, is clearly heard confirming the firing of the six and endorsing the decision. Chombo is also heard saying he had deployed former army officers in the area to bar Mliswa from campaigning and warning villagers not to deal with him. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo said no reports of violence have reached him, but reports of violence have been recorded in Kwekwe and Budiriro. Efforts to get a comment from Chombo or Guza were futile as their phones went unanswered. But Mliswa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Hurungwe West is now a no-go area.
I'm not happy with the situation in Hurungwe West currently. There is violence, it's marred with violence, and unfortunately it's being spearheaded by senior members of the ruling party, ZANU-PF, in more so. Each time the Secretary for Administration, Kwame Chombo, has visited Hurungwe West, there's been violence. The last time he visited, he had instructed the ZANU-PF youth to come and beat me up at the shopping center. I now came face to face with the violence in the party, which I never saw. Yes, I was in the party. I never advocated for violence. Hurungwe West, when I got in as an aspiring member of parliament, I made it very clear that all the base camps which were used for violence must be shut.
There are also allegations of kidnappings. What's happening?
Six headmen were fired at that meeting, and equally two were beaten up. Village head Kapamara and village head Mangisi, who was the coordinator for the chief for all the village heads. He has under him at least 60. And Kapamara was also the chairman for the district, the ZANU-PF district for Mashuma. They were beaten up because apparently they're in the forefront of supporting me. I mean, what's wrong with supporting somebody you want? That's somebody's right. You cannot infringe on people's rights or try and force them to do what they don't want. And sadly enough, you know, that's the violence that has happened in Hurungwe West since this by-elections campaigning has started. There was never any violence. People were living peacefully. And now the village heads and the people are running scared. They've got teams which have made up involving and members of the security services, which is sad because they're meant to be independent, but they're not being used to do that. They did that in 2008 in Hurungwe West.
On the issue of violence, we reached Mr. Chiangwa, who alleged that he is not promoting violence in the constituency. And he's also alleging that, Mr. Mliswa must go to a psychiatric hospital.
Listen, that is Philip Chiango for you. unfortunately, he has a record of creating a top six, which was a militia, which used to beat people around. I mean, he must tell us, was he involved in it, was he not involved in it? It's well known it was in Chinoy. It went around the province beating up people and so forth. It killed the people. Some of them were incarcerated at the time. Some of them have died. And it's a bad spirit which is within him, which he wants to transfer to other constituencies so that there can be violence. We will not allow that. And what Mr. Chiangwa and Mr. Chombo must understand, they are both violent people in a very small way. The unfortunate thing about Comrade Chombo is that he's very quiet, but he's the most dangerous person. You know and you've heard of the allegations on him that during the primary elections in his constituency, there was somebody who was killed and who was thrown into Mazrika Day Dam, who was the district chairman for Murombezi, for Chidziwa, a guy called Murombezi, that was his last name. All these guys are known for that, and unfortunately, we will not allow them to continue that in Urunga. There is the ICC. Now I now see the need for the ICC, because you cannot allow these African leaders to get away with murder by killing people, by abusing people, and not being brought to book. I've told them that I'm pursuing this matter seriously, and through the thing, right channels, it will get to the ICC, and there must be an investigation towards what he's been doing and other crimes that he has created before. He has been in the forefront of if he doesn't get his way, he must beat people up.
That was independent candidate for Urungwe West, Themba Muliswa, in Harare, with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
For any country's economy to grow, workers play a major role as they provide the much-needed labor. But in Zimbabwe, some workers say they are not happy with the way they are being remunerated in a nation gripped by poverty. Our correspondent...
Year after year, Zimbabwean workers complain of poor remuneration and working conditions. Japhet Moyo, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, says this has become the order of the day.
A lot of workers are now not getting their salaries, or they're not getting salaries in time, or collective bargaining is stalled, nothing is happening on collective bargaining. On the legislation side, government wants to amend the labor law and introduce what they call labor market flexibility, so that they empower the employer to hire and fire at will.
Obet Masaraure, president of the Zimbabwe Rural Teachers Union, complains too that top government officials are living large while the majority of civil servants are struggling to make ends meet.
Some of us get worried when they say we want to cut bonuses. It's part of reallocation. They're cutting bonuses, maybe they allocate bonuses elsewhere. But we are afraid these people, they don't inspire confidence in us that after cutting bonuses, where is this man going to be poured into? They don't have a track record of being accountable. They don't have a track record of giving any service. But that would be a good way of creating fiscal space. But we know areas that need to be cut. You can't tell us to tighten our belts when you're buying the trousers of the next size, of a bigger size than the one you were wearing. Then you want everyone else to tighten their belts.
Tapiwa Mashakada, an economist and national executive member of the Movement for Democratic Change led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, says there is no political will to address economic problems and workers' challenges in Zimbabwe. Mashakada adds that workers will stop complaining when the economy improves and people are able to sustain their lives.
Under the staff monitored program, government is shifting its stance to becoming a neoliberal state following IMF, Washington consensus policies, and the main target of the staff-mounted plan, or the main areas that are targeted under the staff-mounted plan, are number one, reform parastatals; number two, improve your tax raising capacity or revenue generating capacity; number three, improve your economic and public financial management; number four, reduce your civil service bill; number five, manage your debt.
Social commentator Takura Jangaja argues that the government must respect its social contract with the people of Zimbabwe by ensuring that workers are adequately paid, as most of them are living below the poverty-datum line of almost $540 per month for a family of six. He says the majority of Zimbabwean workers are now finding it difficult to protest against low salaries and working conditions because most of them are contractors. Moyo believes that there is an onslaught against workers coming from the business sector and government. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from the Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe, but for its part, government says it is doing all it can to address workers' concerns. Labor Minister Priska Mfumira says processes are underway to ensure that the tripartite negotiations are legislated.
So there's a process. You don't just start by saying Kafika. There hasn't been any legal framework in the past. So I want to make it into law. So the first bit is you consult, you come up with principles, you take them to cabinet, they are approved, they are rejected, but in this instance, they are approved. After being approved, you send them to the attorney general.
Meanwhile, it is uncertain that workers will get bonuses this year following a clash over the 13th checks between President Robert Mugabe and Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, who announced the short-lived two-year blockage of these payouts. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
And in sports news, this weekend, American boxing legend Floyd Mayweather will fight Philippine great Manny Pacquiao at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Everyone is talking about the bout, and Zimbabweans have not been left behind as the frenzy over the big fight continues. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us how the biggest hype there has ever been in boxing is taking Zimbabweans in.
This is the story that is on every sports follower's list, as everyone, including those who did not follow boxing, whose popularity had won over the years. This is because Mayweather and Pacquiao are widely recognized as the world's two best boxers. The fight has been in the making for too long, and even in hair salons, they are talking about the richest bout in boxing and sports history. It is also a rarity to have two all-time greats fighting in the same weight division and at the same time. Many have told Voice of America that they will brave the chilly Sunday morning weather to watch the bout either at home or in bars, as many have prayed to be open early in time for the fight that starts at around 5 a.m. Zimbabwean time Sunday and late Saturday in the United States. Although opinion is divided the world over on who will win the three welterweight titles on offer, Zimbabweans appear to have a liking for Mayweather, whom they know more about than Pacquiao. Journalist Wallace Mawire believes that Mayweather has the home support, endurance, and too much strength for the Pacman.
Mayweather will win resoundingly, and he's someone strong and very much experienced.
Cricket fan Farrain Sabayana also thinks Mayweather is way ahead and has his reasons why he thinks the American will prevail. Sabayana said the fight will go the distance, adding that is where Mayweather has an edge.
Because of endurance, I know his strength, he can stand. Pacquiao cannot stand up to 6 rounds, but Mayweather can go up to 12 rounds.
The mega bad fight is not on offer for betting in Zimbabwe, but some have decided to take the other route and have placed bets amongst themselves. 19-year-old Mishek Musaruro thinks the Pacman is way ahead of the money man.
Pacman will win on points. It's just too fast for Mayweather.
The American and the Filipino are fighting for the World Boxing Council, World Boxing Association, and the World Boxing Organization welterweight titles. The two fighters have a far much different background going into the fight. Mayweather has won all his 47 fights, while Pacquiao has lost 5 and drawn 2 of his massive 64 fights. The welterweight fight is unquestionably the major highlight of the weekend the world over, as in Zimbabwe, Premier Soccer League action also continues. The program started this afternoon with FC Platinum beating Xolotl Pirates 3-0 at Mandava Stadium to move to 7 points after 7 games.